This is the Leadership 360 podcast, where each month we have an inspiring conversation with a fellow leader aimed at enhancing your skills and faith in all areas of your life. While our podcast is designed for Seventh-day Adventist Church leaders in the Texas Conference, we invite leaders from all over to join us in this journey. Welcome to Leadership 360. All right. Welcome to the Leadership 360 podcast. I'm excited to have someone who I've gotten to know over the last year and a half, who your reputation preceded you before that, but Deborah Jenke, who is the Associate Director for Adventist Community Services here in the Texas Conference. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I could have asked Bo, but you're much more fun than he is.
So I have a better laugh than he does.
You do. I know. You do. So, yeah, and a better personality, too. So. Okay. But anyway, so talk to a little bit for our viewers and listeners who don't know you very well.
Okay.
How in the world did you become involved with Adventist Community Services?
Well, it's a God thing. God wanted me here, but, I was in the youth and young adult department for many years. Summer camp was my thing. And I remember when Elton became president, he came and visited with me out at camp, and he asked, "Hey, have you ever thought about another department that you'd want to work in?" And I said, "Man, Elton, I love summer camp. I was literally just, my heart was breaking. I was like, please don't move me." Not knowing what God had put in his mind that a couple months later, they had asked Bo to take over as director.
Who's your husband,
by the way? Who was my husband, by the way, and me as the associate. And, at first, I tell you, I was very much, upset. There were some tears shed.
Sure.
But you know what? After much prayer, we prayed about it, and God gave peace in my heart, and it's been an awesome journey the last 2 years of us doing in Adventist Community Services. It's
amazing just to see the impact that you guys have. You are literally all over the conference.
Yes, we
just
are.
Just helping churches reach their community. So before we get too deep into kind of what I want to talk about today, let's talk about Adventist Community Service. What exactly is it? Many times we think of disaster response, or hurricane hits or tornado hits, and we run in and help FEMA and all that. But those are few and far between. What else does Adventist Community Services do to help our local churches?
Yeah, well, Adventist Community Services has changed a lot since we've taken over.
Okay.
But the way that FEMA does things, our local Texas government does things, is changing. In the disaster response side, we actually do less as us because we're wanting the local churches to be involved within their local community. So that's what we're really encouraging our churches across the state of Texas, is to not just be there for the storms, but to, we say, be there for in the blue skies.
Nice.
So be out in your community so that they know you. You have a relationship in the community, so when the storms do come, then they'll call upon you for help.
So what does that look like? What kind of resources do y'all provide local churches?
Well, the first thing we tell churches to do is to really get to know their local government, within their cities. Talk to their mayors, talk to their city managers, go to the police station, the fire department, those people, because those individuals really want to see good things in their community.
Sure.
They want to see the needs met. And so we're able to provide trainings for churches. We are able to supply material things. We've been blessed by so many things. God's answered prayers in so many ways. Because when we took over, we wanted to do things other than just disasters. A lot of our churches just do Dorcases or food pantries. There were some other things we wanted to touch on. So we did a lot of praying, and God answered our prayer. We had a major retailer call us one day and wanted to start giving us major donation of supplies, anywhere from clothes to small appliances.
Oh, wow.
Bedding and things. So we started helping with refugee ministries. We have a lot of people coming into this country with nothing. We were able to help with back to school. And things like that.
So one of the litmus tests that I, as a pastor, always tried to help my church understand was, I said to him, if our church closed tomorrow. The lights were turned off, the lock was put on, the parking lot was empty. If our church disappeared and closed, would our community even notice we were closed? Would they say, man, we really miss that Seventh-day Adventist church in this community?
Right.
Is that hold true? I mean, is that kind of an idea of why community service is so important?
Absolutely. And it is sad that some of our churches are still that way. One of the things that we talk about and Bo likes to preach about when he goes is talking about getting out of our pews and getting out into the community, because that's not, God didn't want us to sit in our pews right. and only minister to those in the walls. He wanted us to get outside our walls, just like he did, and minister to all. So if you're out there in your community, you're helping them in the blue skies, you're helping them meet their needs, their physical needs, their spiritual needs, their social needs, those kind of things, then when your door's closed, they're going to notice.
Right.
And so we're trying to encourage more churches to be out in the community. They don't have to do great and big things. They can do small things.
So that brings me to the next kind of question I want to pick your brain about is, okay, so let's say I'm a member of a small church, mm-hmm. head elder of a small church in East Texas or in the Hill Country or anywhere within our conference. And we think, man, we only have 20 people showing up on a Sabbath. Many of our people are more seasoned, more mature. What can we do? I mean, we want to be involved in our community, but wow, can 20 people make a difference? Where do we start? First of all, can we make a difference? And then how in the world do we start making a difference in this small town?
Oh, man, just so many stories just came to my head. We had a small church in East Texas, and it's the Linden Church mm-hmm. and the Boazes. I went to school with their son, and so— they came over and went to get yellow buckets, our clean-up buckets, our famous right. clean-up buckets.
So talk a little bit, just as a kind of aside, and we're just kind of, what I know the yellow buckets.
Oh, okay.
Some what's people may have seen, what's in them?
So the yellow buckets just have cleaning supplies that you can use. It has disinfectant, it has trash bags, clothesline, clothespins to hang up, you know, for things that are wet, just different things to help clean your home after something. Obviously, if your home's totally destroyed, it's not going to help
you
much.
Sure.
But sometimes we give them to people that just move into a home, and we give it to them so that they have cleaning supplies.
Sure.
Because it has paper towels and baggies and different things in there that can be useful. But this church said, let's start with 10 buckets. Okay. They have less than 20 people that come to church, and they're all older, and they wanted to do something for their community. So they came in their second time of getting buckets. They would get them, go back, fill them up, and a couple months later, take them a couple months, they would bring them, give me the 10 full, and I'd give them 10 empty. Well, after they did that twice, we had tornadoes in East Texas.
Right.
And Bo had to take some yellow buckets. So the yellow buckets that they had put together actually went to help their community. So it doesn't matter how many people you have. It just takes one person to do something.
Sure.
We had a little girl at a school. She just donated over 600 pairs of socks for something that we're doing. I mean, she's a kindergartner, 6 years old. And she went out and got 600 pairs of socks to donate to go to help those people during the winter that need socks.
So I'm going to look at it from a different perspective. You guys have had conversations with leaders in communities mm-hmm. where you've worked. Mm-hmm. Does it really make a difference to them, or are they just kind of being politicians and saying, oh yeah, thank you Seventh-day Adventists for what you do? But do they really see our churches making an impact and making a difference in their community?
Absolutely. When we go to the emergency management meetings once a year, and our last one we were at here in the state of Texas, they actually said that they realized during COVID that the churches are the ones, especially the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that helped keep people going because of what you do. You supply food, you supply clothing, you supply grief support, everything that we do in the community. They realize that we're the ones that helped more than they were ever able to help, because you're making those relationships in those communities and those people trust you. So,
So, again, I'm a leader in a church. Mm-hmm. Nobody else really wants to do anything. Mm-hmm. But I want to do something. I want to make it. Where do I start? how in the world can one person make a difference? I guess that's the...
Oh, absolutely. You know, first is prayer.
Okay.
You know, prayer is an amazing thing. I talked to a lady in Mansfield, one of our first trainings we did. She was by herself. And she's like, I really want to do something. And I told her, have you been praying? She said, yes. So her and I sat down and prayed there. We were at the Fort Worth First Church. We sat on the front pew and had a prayer. And I talked to her a couple weeks later, and she had somebody come up at church that week, the next week, and said, hey, I want to start helping you.
Oh, wow.
And the last time I talked to her, she had five or six individuals helping her with what she was wanting to do in the city of Mansfield. So, you know, prayer is an important thing.
Sure.
But it is going and talking to your city officials. Talk to your emergency manager, your mayor, and say, what kind of things are needed in this community? The firefighters are amazing guys to talk to. Because they know.
Right.
They know what's happening in the community. And they'll let you know. They'll let you know where single moms are. Hey, these moms really need a lot of help. They'll let you know where the elderly are. One person can do so much. We tell our kids when we go into freshman Bible camp and outdoor school, that's the things we tell them. Find out who your neighbors are.
Right.
Because you don't know the lady next door. She might just need someone to take her trash to the curb for her every, you know, every Friday. Or help her bring her groceries in when she gets home. Little things like that make a big impact. And then, you know, word of mouth gets out. And that can help start something even bigger.
Sure. So how do we change people's minds when it comes to, you know what, I go to church on Sabbath. The community, unless I'm sharing a tract with them, or unless I'm... How do we change the idea that, you know what? What we do in the community is evangelistic. This is probably more important than sharing the Sabbath or anything like that else, because you're being the hands and feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. How in the world do you change that mindset when we have traditionally had a philosophy of, okay, we're going to do an evangelistic meeting and this is it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only impact we're going to have in our community.
Yeah.
How do you change that mindset?
You know, some people, they have to see it. I mean, we have the church under the bridge in San Antonio.
Talk a little bit about that.
They were challenged to start a church, to plant a church. And it was during COVID. And they happened to be driving around and they saw some homeless people. And they thought, huh. So that Sabbath, they made 20 breakfast tacos and went out. And they were going to talk about the love of God, just talk to these individuals. They barely got out of their car and the tacos were gone. So many people were in need. So the next Sabbath, they did more. And it built up to where the community took notice. The police and the fire department and the mayor, they wanted them to be in a safe place. So they made sure they were in a safe place now under a bridge where they can meet every Sabbath. You know, it started with 20 tacos. And now they feed over 300 people.
Oh, wow.
Breakfast and lunch on Sabbath. But for 1 year, they never even talked about they were Seventh-day Adventist. They just showed Christ to them. They loved them. They met their physical needs. They fed them. They have a laundry trailer now, so they're able to wash clothes. Oh, wow. They have a shower trailer. And it took these individuals, the unhoused is what we call them now. And gotcha. They started saying, why are you guys doing this? And they said, well, because we love you and we want you to feel loved. Just because you're living on the street doesn't mean that, you know, somebody doesn't love you.
You're less of a person.
That you're less because you don't have that. And do you know they've had over 60 baptisms?
No.
Yes, they have had over 60 baptisms. Wow. And I'm sure there's more, but that's the last count I knew.
Sure.
Baptisms. And we've been on a Sabbath morning. Now, Sabbath morning, they're ministering to people on the street. They're not in church,
right,
in a physical traditional church building. They're out on the street loving these people. They're not preaching at them. They're not up with a microphone, you know, broadcasting any sermon. They're just showing them love. And to me, when we were there, it was so amazing. There was one young lady that they have a table of Bibles.
Okay.
And there was another Adventist church that was there and they were giving out Bibles. And she came up and said, can I have this? I can keep it? And they said, absolutely. While we were there for 2 hours, she walked around and would just find a Bible verse and read it. And she would just close her eyes and was praying and was so excited to have this Bible. And it really made Bo and I think about, are we excited about our Bible when we touch our Bible? Are we that excited to have those words? And she, that meant the world to her to have that Bible. And so these people, they sacrifice a lot. The couple that started it, they have more and more people that help them. But that is their church family.
Sure.
And it's an amazing thing when you go out there and when you talk to those individuals. And there's some of those that have been baptized that they have been able to help that are off the street now. They have an apartment. They were able to find jobs. And they come back and help every Sabbath. And I talked to one of the gentlemen, and he said, you know what? This is my family. Regardless of where I live, regardless if I actually have a roof over my head, this is still my family. And I still want to come back and show the love of God to more people. So it's an amazing thing.
So that's a big story. I mean, when you think about that kind of impact, but that's not an isolated story, is it? There's other places in Texas, other churches in Texas that are reaching the community in what we consider non-traditional ways. We're very good at cooking schools, stop smoking clinics, which you, I think you and I will both agree, they're good.
I don't think they do stop smoking.
Oh, they don't?
Anymore, Tom.
Sorry, wow, I just...
Sorry. You just aged yourself.
I just aged myself big time. 7-day plan. Anyway, sorry. What these felt needs seminars, which are important, mm-hmm. but I found that sometimes we scratch itches that aren't there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
What are some other places that are doing something maybe kind of outside the traditional box where they are reaching their community, like this church under the bridge? Is there?
Yeah, there's another church, Mesquite. They have a good relationship with the mayor and with the mayor's office, and they find people who get citations because of something wrong at their house.
Oh, okay.
Like their lawn maybe need to be mowed, their fence mended, and they go. They have a group that then goes to these homes and fix those for individuals. Most of them are single moms, elderly that don't have the money or their strength to be able to do it.
Sure.
So that's one of their ministries that they're reaching out into their community, not just around their church, but all over, helping those individuals. Just, and you, when you hear some of their stories, people are so, you're coming to do this for free? Like, yeah. I don't have to pay you. People are so shocked by just somebody wanting to do something out of love and
with
and
no strings attached.
Exactly.
Right. We as 21st century Americans are so jaded that if someone does something nice for us, we're like,
what do they expect back from me?
Where's the hook?
Yeah, exactly.
And so to be able to do something that unique and say, we're just doing this because we care about you, we care about our community, people I'm sure are like, what?
Yeah.
Is this really true?
There's a lot of them. There's another church that, well, it's an individual. They started an adventure club within the Afghan people in Houston.
Wow.
They have a Pathfinder Club and Adventure Club. And we've got to meet some of the individuals. And for last year for Thanksgiving, they brought them all to the property that they live on, all the families. They were able to get some of the local churches, let them use their buses. They came in, had a Thanksgiving meal, and had a fun day with the families.
Wow.
Some of these families had never had a fun day to where they just come together as a family. They just did things like they taught them how to shoot bow and arrows. They didn't even know what that was.
Wow.
They played croquet, mm-hmm. just fun things that we take for granted.
Right.
But they don't even know what that means to have family time from these other countries. But they take time out of their busy schedule to start an adventure club with kids that have no clue how to be part of any type of an organization like that.
Sure.
And it's pretty awesome.
So again, I'm going to go back to, because this podcast is designed for local leaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. This is neat. I'm excited about this, man. We can make a difference in our community. We talked about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Say they don't run into you or Bo, how do they start? I mean, what give them a sense of where do they start? How do they get in touch with you? What are some of the resources that you guys offer? Let me ask it that way first.
Yeah, well, they can get, call us. Okay. We have our stuff on the website. They can call here to the front desk, and Doug will be happy to transfer them to sure us. And, we're going to tell them the first thing you need to do is find out what your church, what their talents are.
Okay.
You might be really surprised on what people can do or what people can give back to the community that might not even think it matters. Somebody might be a good math teacher. They can then help tutor. They might play the piano, okay, so they can help with piano lessons. They might be a carpenter, so they can help somebody that needs a ramp put at their house or whatever. But find out what your church's talents are. And if they're willing, that's the thing.
Sure.
If your church is willing to go out and then find out what the needs are of your community, because you could want to do a stop smoking seminar, but that might not be important. That might not be what they need.
Right.
Tyler Church did this, Tyler Spanish, and he found he has a huge community of single moms. And they have been going to and making relationships with these moms with children. Well, you have adventures you can invite them to, VBSs you can invite them to. And while the kids are doing that, then you can be talking to the moms. But then they're able to, once they make those relationships, then they come to us and they say, hey, we need school clothes. Christmas is coming up. Can you help us out with toys? You know, and it's never stuff for the moms. The moms always want to make sure their kids have what they need. And so then we're able to help them with the items that we have and the resources that we have to provide that. But first asking what your church wants to do, what their talents are, and then finding out the need in the community. That's
so,
a big thing.
So what that tells me then is that there is no church in the Texas Conference who can't do community outreach.
Exactly.
Because if we believe what we read in Scripture, everybody has gifts and talents that God has given them.
Exactly, yeah.
And every community— because I've yet to visit a community that doesn't have any needs. Every community has needs. We just need to tap into it. So there's not a church out there that can say, oh, no, we don't have the talent or we don't have a community in need. Everybody can say, we can be involved in this.
That's right. And it doesn't matter how old you are or young you are. Somebody can, they can always give something. We've gone to a food pantry where the little kids have the water, and they run the water up to the— you know, just a couple bottles of water, however many people's in the car, they give them their water, and then they wave. That's all they do. And those little kids think they have the best job ever, but it makes them feel important, and then they see how serving others makes you feel good. So
give me an example. I'm sure you got a lot of stories, and I'm trying to set this up the right way so I don't freak out. But
okay.
Most non-traditional thing you've seen a church do to reach their community. Again, we talk about food pantries. Oh, we talk about, you know, cooking schools and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the church under the bridge, I'll give you, I'll filibuster a little bit to give you a chance to, you know, the church under the bridge, that's unique.
Yeah.
You know, single moms honing in on, on, yes, this is a need that we have. We do have food pantries that are being very effective throughout the conference. But I think what I'm trying to help our leaders understand is that it doesn't necessarily need to fit in that those boxes, that whatever your community needs, we want to be able to share meet that need and share our gifts and talents.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, just kind of, and it doesn't have to be totally off the wall, but just something just like, man, I can't believe that they thought of that and look at the difference that it's making in the community.
You know, there's... And prison ministry work is not an uncommon thing.
Right.
There's a lot of people that do that, but there is some of our churches, one in particular that we had a long conversation with a gentleman who works with the in the prison system, and where when they come across and they take them to a holding place, he goes and gives them supplies. They make relationships with the people that run these centers, and they not only get them toiletry hygiene items that they need, they also are able to go in and allow the spouses of these individuals that are in these detention centers or whatever they are, the spouses are able to come in and they can have some type of a seminar or something, how to better your family. What are some needs of you as a couple or as a family that you're struggling with, or, you know, why are you here? What puts you here? And they talk about some tough things, but as a family. And I thought that was super cool that, you know, at the church I went to for years in Alvarado, prison ministry was a big thing. And we always would pray for so-and-so who was there, pray for his mom that's sick. But these guys go in there and they help not only the individual, they bring in the spouse.
That's awesome.
And so, and the family. So when they get out, and they don't let them just walk out the door and say, see ya, good luck. No, they find out where they're going. Because some of them might not be living where, you know, they might not be living in the town where they've been, where they've been holding incarcerated. He told us a story about a gentleman that was getting out and he was going to San Antonio. And he actually called us and he said, hey, can you help me out? Deb, I need to know some churches. He's going into this area of San Antonio. So I gave him the number to some of the pastors. He wanted to connect to the pastors and he wanted to give the guy the churches to go to. But he wanted the pastors to let his elders and membership know, hey, this gentleman's coming in.
Sure.
Please look out for him.
Right.
Love him. This is a situation. This is where we are with him and his family. Let's love him. And that was awesome. Bo and I were pretty blown away by that, that they take that extra step to make sure wherever they're going, it's not their community. It was another community, but making sure that those individuals are not lost in the shuffle once they get out.
So is it safe to say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is it safe to say that it starts with a heart transformation of seeing people as God sees them?
Mm-hmm.
That there's no second-class citizens, there's no, I mean, you think about prisoners, you think about those who are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
They're still children of God.
God loves us all, yeah.
And so you have to have a change of heart to say, yeah, I care about them, I love them strictly because they are a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, then, I want to follow the mandate of Jesus that when you minister to the least of these, you're ministering to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And then once that happens, it seems like the sky's the limit.
Absolutely. You know, and when we were down there under the Church on the Bridge, I remember there was these two young girls that came up and they were dressed really nice. And I was like, huh. So I asked Mandy, I said, hey, you have some people that are here dressed pretty nice, you know. They don't look like they live on the streets. And she said, some people don't. Some of our people that come out here, they live paycheck to paycheck. You know, and they come out here because of the friendship and because they just need that one extra meal. But she says, we don't judge them because we don't know where they are.
Right.
We just love them. You know, God didn't say, oh, you need to find out everything about them before you love them. You just need to love them. And so I thought that was pretty cool. That
it takes a completely different mindset.
It does.
And I think once we begin to have our heart changed by the Spirit to see people as God sees them, then my sense is, and you're confirming it by these stories, my sense is God will do some awesome things through you.
You know, and excuse me, you know, we had a guy that came and picked up supplies from us last March, and coats and some stuff, and he just distributed some of them. He went to a girl's home and that he got a word that they needed some coats and stuff. And he hadn't even opened the boxes till he got there. You know, every coat in that box fit one of those girls in that facility.
Are you serious?
And he's had that box since March. And he just prayed over the stuff. When we gave it to him, he prayed over it and says, God, this is, you tell me how you want me to use these items. He didn't just go out and pass it out randomly.
Right.
He said, God, let me know. So when he heard about that, he said, you know, and he had texted Bo and said, you're not going to believe what just happened. He said, I took this box and every coat fit one of those girls in that facility.
Wow.
So God knows.
God knows.
God knows, absolutely.
So last thing, you've got the ear of leaders in the Texas Conference.
Yeah.
One takeaway. If they forget everything else we talked about, what do you want them to remember or kind of begin to think about as a leader in their local church?
You know, you don't have to start big. I mean, they started with 20 tacos. You know, you don't have to start with a humongous event. It's just starting with one person. And that one person goes to another person, and it grows and grows and grows. And you know, we serve an awesome God. He can do so much. And, you know, I have so many stories and miracles and things I could talk about all day long about how God has shown me. That's why I tell people, if you want to see miracles, come work for Adventist Community Services.
Great.
Because it's awesome, the things that we see and hear.
Sure.
But it is, don't think you have to start big. Just start small and God will take it from there.
I love that. Thank you. You're welcome. So we're going to do something that we do with all of our guests. We're going to do a lightning round. And this is just some fun stuff to get to know you a little bit. So I'm going to just ask make some quick statements.
Okay.
And I want you to react to them.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. First one, beach or mountains?
Oh, mountains.
Okay. Most used app on your phone?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, probably Facebook.
All right. Favorite hobby outside of ministry?
Oh, vacation, because I don't get it that often. It used to be, you know, sports, but, you know, I don't do sports that much anymore. Right. But vacation.
Vacation. I like that.
Yeah.
One thing on your bucket list?
On my bucket list.
On your bucket
list. I want to jump out of an airplane.
Wow.
And I almost did it for my 40th birthday. I couldn't get anybody to go with me. I asked some of my family, and they said, well, we'll go push you out of the plane, but we don't want to jump with you, but they'll push me out. So wow. I don't know what that says about my family. I don't know what that says family, either. But jump out of a plane.
Okay.
You wanted to go with me?
No.
No?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm scared of heights, so that's not a good thing.
Come on. You have a parachute. It's all cool.
My fear would be that, yeah, I have a parachute, but it wouldn't work. Anyway, we're not going to psychoanalyze my fear of heights. Next one. If you had a superpower, if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Oh, superpower.
Superpower.
Oh, man. I would like the superpower to make people feel better. Change their, like, if they're mad and angry, just to make them feel loved, or if they're sad, to make them feel happy. So maybe emotion.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's any Marvel character or DC character that has that superpower.
It's not cool, maybe.
We'll have to get you a cape.
Oh, yeah?
With that. Okay. We'll have to figure out some superhero.
I'll wear it if you get it for me.
Yeah? I'm sure.
Yeah.
Last thing, best piece of advice you ever received?
Oh, my goodness. Best piece of advice. Probably don't be afraid.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to step out of the boat.
I like that.
You know?
I like that. Deborah, thank you for coming on, for sharing. I'm so excited to see how God continues to use you and Bo and the churches in the Texas Conference to make a difference in our communities for the cause of Jesus. So thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
This has been fun.
Good. I'm glad to hear.
I was good, right?
It wasn't, absolutely.
Absolutely. I didn't laugh too much.
And you didn't.
I wasn't too loud. Okay, good.
Thank you for talking about community service.
And sure. Thank you.
We look forward to seeing what else God has in store.
Thank you.
So for those of you who are listening, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, wherever you got it, hit subscribe. Make sure that you get it every month. We have other leaders that will be coming on, and we're excited to talk about leadership and how it can affect all facets of your life. So thank you for joining us. We'll see you next month.
Leadership 360 is a Texas Conference of Seventh-day Adventist production. Our executive producers are Ken Dixon and Dr. Tom Grove. Our producers are Ever Soto and Tammy Townsend. Our sound engineer is Aaron Metter, and video editor is Tammy Townsend. New episodes of Leadership 360 are released on the third Thursday of every month, so be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find the video version of this podcast on the Texas Conference YouTube. Thanks for listening.